A morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Ayin Zayin, 77. We are starting today with a new parak. We are beginning the eighth parak of the Masechta, and this parak is dedicated to the topic of the Karban Torah. The Karban Torah in the Torah is found in Parashat Tzav. We are in the seventh parak of Vayikra, and just a quick familiarizing ourselves with the Pesukim. The Torah introduces us to those karbanos which are karban shlamim. Im al toda yakrivenu. So let's say a person wants to bring a karban toda. The Torah doesn't mention why it is the person would want to bring a karban toda, but and we'll get to that. But im al toda yakrivenu v'kriv al zevach toda. So together with the karban toda, meaning the animal itself, the karban itself is an animal, and then together in conjunction with the animal, so then we're also going to bring menachos, meaning breads. Chalos matzos b'los b'shemen, or rikike matzos meshuch b'shemen, v'solos murbeches, chalos belulos b'shemen. So the Torah goes on to describe three different types of breads that are going to be coming. I'm using the word breads over here, I'm using them very loosely. The better definitions, the more precise definitions are going to be coming up later. But they are going to be chalos, they're going to be rikikim, they're going to also be murbeches, or revucha. And again, we'll discuss all that what they mean in detail later on. But just right now, just dipping a toe in the water. Achalos lechem chametz, and all of them are going to be brought together with lechem chametz, bread which is chametz. You and I would consider bread, meaning it's inflated, it's risen. Yakriv karbanel al zevach toda shlamav, and that's going to be together in conjunction with the karban toda. V'kriv memenu echem mikol karban truma l'Hashem. And then the Torah describes how you're going to take one of each and give it as truma, la kohen. It's going to be given to the kohen. The kohen is doing the avoda, who sprinkles the blood of the karban toda on the mizbech. He is going to be the recipient of this quote-unquote truma. Okay. A really interesting halacha the Torah tells us regarding the karban toda, and that is the amount of time that it can be eaten. It cannot be eaten for 2 days. Now, this bucks the trend of your karmi shlamim. Your karmi shlamim typically are consumed for 2 days and the night in between. Even though it is a karmi shlamim, that is how the Torah introduces it. As a karmi shlamim, nevertheless, it can only be for 1 day, not for 2 days. Lo yanich mimenu ad boker, you cannot leave anything over to the morning. Okay, and that's it. Those are the psukim in the Torah as it relates to the karmi toda. And so we start our parak. Our parak is going to be doing a lot more in terms of focusing on the lechem that comes together with the karban toda. So there are 40 loaves of bread, and the beginning of today's daf is going to be extraordinarily technical, as we're going to be talking about quantities and volume. How much flour is going to be coming together with the lechem, with the bread? And so here we begin the Mishnah. We are on the very bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis. HaToda Isaba Chamesham Yerusham Yoshein Sheish Midbarios. So, the karban toda. So, how much flour? So, it's 5 sa'ah of the Jerusalem sa'ah, which was, once upon a time, 6 sa'ah of the Midbar of the desert. We're going to be learning in the course of today's daf the following. There is a unit of measurement called the sa'ah. Once upon a time, it had a certain volume, and then, historically, at a later point in time, they increased the actual measuring cup. So that, in other words, you needed now less measuring cups in order to get to the same volume. So in other words, there's the standard amount that the Torah wants us to use in terms of how much flour. So back in the day, it took 6 sa'a measuring cups to measure it. But because they increased the size of the measuring cup, so what was once upon a time 6, now you only need 5. In other words, basically, the flour didn't change. The amount of flour didn't change. It's just that the measuring cups changed. And we'll talk more about that later in the course of today's daf. Shtei Eifos, it comes out now that it is equivalent to 2 Eifos. We already learned a number of times. An Eifa is equivalent to 3 Sa'a. So if we are looking at the number of 6 Sa'a, now again, I know we're using the original measuring cups, but that's fine. So if they are 6, so 6 Sa'a is equivalent to 2 Eifa. Ha'efa shal shayin. And then the Mishnah just simply telegraphs that that's exactly correct, that the efa is 3 sa'ah. Esrim isaron. If you want to say it another way, it's 20 isaron. Again, something we've already said a number of times, that 3 sa'ah is equivalent to 10 isaron. So 6 sa'ah is going to be equivalent to 20 isaron. Okay, again, these are all measuring cups that were common back then, that they were all familiar with. I understand for you and I, you know, this is not the quarts and pints that we're used to discussing. But anyway, it's 20 Isaron. Now, here the Mishnah is going to tell us how we are going to take this amount of flour, which we could say now a number of ways. It's 20 Isaron, it's 6 Sa'ah, it's 2 Ephahs, however you want to say it. Now what we're going to do is we're going to take this amount of flour and we're going to divide it amongst the loaves. Now we're going to learn together that there are 40 loaves of bread. Now we went through the Pesukim of the Torah. The Torah told us that there were basically three different types of matzah and there's also a chametz as well. And what we're learning in the course of this morning is that that now makes for four different types of bread that comes in conjunction with the Karma Todah. And as we're about to learn right now, even though you would think that there would be an even distribution of flour amongst the four types, that's incorrect. But rather, for the chametz bread, we're going to take the flour and use half of it for the chametz bread, and we're going to use the other half for the other three. So there's going to be a disproportionate amount of chametz bread than there's going to be on the matzah. Or, to say it otherwise, the 10 loaves of chametz are going to be equal in flour to the 30 loaves of the matzah. The Mishnah says it. Asar l'chametz v'asar l'matzah. 10 for the chametz, 10 for the matzah. Asar l'chametz, isaron l'chala, v'asar l'matzah, uv'matzah shalshminim. So when it comes to the 10 for the chametz, asar l'chala, asar l'matzah, uv'matzah shalshminim. Now when it comes to matzah, the matzah is going to be subdivided into three different types. And they are chalos, rekik, and revucha. Now again, we saw that in the Torah, but the Mishnah just simply spells it out. Now, nimtzu'u, shlosha esronim, Ushlish lechomin v'min. So now, because we're going to use 10 isaron for the matzah, and because the three different types of matzah, so that means to say that we're going to be taking the 10 isaron of matzah, and we're going to be dividing it into thirds. So that means that there will be 3 1/3 isaron of flour for all three types of matzah, for each of the three types of matzah. V'shalosh chalos le'isaron. Now, how many, if we take it from the perspective of the actual matzah itself. How much is the matzah going to comprise? So you'll take, if you were to take 3 of the chalos, that would equal 1 isaron. Okay. Uvemida Yerushalmis. So now, all we're going to do now in the Mishnah is all the numbers that we just learned together, we're just going to do conversion. In other words, we know that in the Midbar, it was 6 sa'ah in Yerushalmis terms. It's 5 sa'ah, so we're just going to do everything but convert. Uvemida Yerushalmi hayushloshim kav. So in Midas Yerushalmi now it comes out to 30 kav. What we're doing now is basically it's the same amount, but again, 6 sa'ah comes out to 5 sa'ah. 5 sa'ah, there are 6 kav in every sa'ah, so that means to say that there are 30 kavim altogether. So now it's the same thing, it's going to be the same ratios. We're just looking at it from the perspective of kavim. So if we have a total of 30 kavim, so now, same thing. Chamisha asar l'chametz v'chamisha asar l'matzah, 15 for the chametz, 15 for the matzah. Chamisha asar l'chametz kavim echsa l'chala. So as far as now the chametz is concerned, if we're using 15 kavim for make the 10 loaves, each loaf is going to be a kav and a half. Chamisha asar l'matzah v'matzah shoshminim chalas rekik and revucha. And now, for 15 kavan, that's the other half of the flour which is going to use for the matzah. There are three types of matzah. There are 15 kavan, so 15 divided by 3, that's 5 kavan per matzah for each set of matzah. Nimtzu chamisha kavan l'chol min v'min. So that means to say now that there are 5 kavan for every type. L'chol min v'min. U'shtei chalos l'kav. And looking at it from the perspective of the loaves of matzah, so if I have 2 loaves of the matzah, that will be equivalent to 1 kav. Okay. Icon. That takes us to the end of the Mishnah. So basically in the Mishnah, what we have learned together is really 2 things. I mean, more than 2, but if I can summarize, in the Mishnah, we have made basically 2 points. One is that at one point in time, there was an adjustment. In other words, what the once upon a time, a measuring cup of that held 6, they increased the measuring cup itself, if you could picture this well. And so that means to say that what once upon a time was needed to hold 6 can now hold 5. So in other words, because the measuring cups were increased. That is point number 1 of the Mishnah, is that at one point in time historically there was a conversion. So that means to say that we have to just simply make an adjustment so that we know what the amount of flour is. We're not going to change the amount of flour. We're just going to simply change the amount of measuring cups. Good. And the other thing in the Mishnah we're learning together is how much flour and how that flour is divided amongst the 40 loaves of the Karban Todah. 40 loaves of the Karban Todah, 10 of them are chametz, 30 of them are going to be matzah, and the flour is going to be taken, halved, half is going to be applied to the chametz and half is going to be applied to the matzah. That's the second basic point of the Mishnah. Let's continue with the Gemara. The Gemara says, now, how do I know? So what we're going to see now are a series of psukim in Sefer Yecheskel, which is going to basically arrive at the conclusion that there are five saw that is necessary. So the pasuk says, Amakra ha efa v'abas tochen echad yiyeh. So one pasuk in Yecheskel says that both the efa and the bas. Bas over here is an actual measuring cup as well, meaning efa is a measuring cup and bas is as well. And the pasuk in Yecheskel says that they are equal in amount. Now the bas holds three saw, the efa two holds three saw. The Gemara says, "Ubasku for minalan." Great, that's fantastic. How did you know that the bas holds three saw? If the Gemara says, "Well, maybe I know from the following." The another pasuk in Yecheskel says, "Lases meiser hachomer habas efa." So the Gemara says, "Lases meiser hachomer habas." That as it relates to the bas, a bas would represent 10% of the chomer, meaning chomer is another measurement. And the if you have a chomer amount of whatever it is, grain, and you want to take meiser of it, so you're going to be taking a bas. So that tells us how much the bas is. The Gemara says, Eifa nami aksiv, v'asir sechofer ha'eifa. So the Gemara says, okay. But we have another pasuk in Yecheskel that tells us that the eifa is also 10% of the chomer. So in other words, we have not learned any differentiation between the bas and the eifa. They're the same measurement. And as much as right now we don't know how much the eifa is, we also don't know how much the bas is. We know it in terms of a ratio between a bas and a chomer. A chomer to a bas is a ratio of 10 to 1. A chomer to an eifa is also a ratio of 10 to 1. But okay, but that doesn't tell us how much, it just simply tells ratio. Alachomer lo yadana kama. We don't know how much a chomer is. Hachanami lo yadana kama. We didn't know it regarding the bas, we don't know it regarding the eifa. So right now at this point in time, so where do we see it? Elame hacha. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe it comes out from the following. V'chok ha-shemen ha-bas, ha-shemen u-maiser ha-bas min ha-kor, aseres ha-batim chomer, ki aseres ha-batim chomer. So here we have another pasuk in Yecheskel. Oh, this, by the way, same parak in Yecheskel. So we have another pasuk in Yecheskel says that 10 batim make up a chomer. And so from this pasuk, this pasuk also tells us that it is relative to the kor. Now the kor we do know, meaning we know that the kor is equivalent to 30 sa'a. And so now that we take it and we line it up up against the kor, so that gets us to the idea that the that we now know how much we know how much a chomer is, and by definition we're now going to know how much a saw is and how much a bas is. Okay, fine. The psukim in Yecheskel get us to the point where we now know that two eifas, which is equivalent to six sa'ah of flour for the Karban Todah. Fine. And the Pesukim Yecheskel just help us get from one measuring cup to another measuring cup. Amar Shmuel. And for the rest of the first half of today's daf, so we're going to be spending time trying to understand the statement of Shmuel. This statement of Shmuel has come up already a number of times throughout Shas. It comes up in Baba Basra, comes up in Baba Metzia, and it comes up over here as well, and that is as follows. The government makes on occasion times where they're going to make changes in standard measurements. Standard measurements in terms of linear measurements, standard measurements in terms of weights, and standard measurements in terms of the size of coins. Okay? It's clear, by the way, that this was, in other words, there was a point in time historically where this was done in conjunction with rabbinic supervision, meaning that the Chachamim had a point in time where they oversaw a lot of these changes, and so the government was, if the government was following halacha, the government would be consulting with the chachamim in terms of making these changes, and the chachamim would make caps in terms of how much change can actually be made. And let's try to be clear about this. Meaning, we're going to be talking about changes made by measurements, and we're going to be talking about changes that made are in currency weight and in currency weight and measurements, and also in terms of profit margin. Okay, and all this to be explained in just a moment. Okay, but that does not mean, of course, that the original amount changes. It just simply means that we're going to have to modify, just like we did in our Mishnah, we're just simply going to have to modify the measuring cups that we use, knowing that the change was made. All we're learning right now is that if the government is going to make any kind of these kinds of standard changes, they are capped in terms of how much change we can make, or they can make. And so Shmuel states, Amar Shmuel, Ein Mosifin Al Midas Yosef Meshusos. If we're going to change, let's say, the linear measurement. Let's say one day the government decides that, you know what, we're going to extend the yard. So, right, I'm using our modern measurements. Right, we're going to extend the yard. Or we're going to extend a meter. They can't do it more than a 6. Right now, for our purposes, let's say 18%, but you'll see in just a moment, it may be 20%. I know that's a little bit confusing right now, but let's just say that.
There was a change in the
Some amas are 6 tefachim, some amas are 5 tefachim. That's not because there was a change. It's just simply, that part's a little bit confusing as well. But sometimes an amma was measured using 6 tefachim, sometimes 5. That's not based on change. It's just simply based on various contexts. And the coin. The weight of the coin cannot be, if the government decides that they're going to increase the weight of the coin, not more than a 6, and in terms of a profit margin cannot be made more than a 6. So my timer. Now, what the Gemara is going to do now, the statement is very clear. What the Gemara is going to attempt to do is wrap its head around why. Why is it that there are these kinds of caps made to linear measurements, weight measurements for coins, and profit margin caps on profit margin? And it's going to be a little bit difficult, meaning the Gemara is going to be hard to go through, it's going to be hard to get through, it's going to be, the conclusion of the Gemara also is going to be a little bit challenging. Just, you know, forewarning. This next bit of Gemara is going to be a little bit tricky. So my time, but we'll try our best to get through it. So the Gemara says, well, maybe because of inflation. And the way the Gemara sounds, and certainly, right, I encourage you to look at Rashi, I'm just going to say Rashi outside, but basically, what are we looking about in terms of market inflation? Consider. Our currency, by the way, we have a hard time relating to this because our currency is paper, and even our coins are more representative than they are like real value. Back in the day, currency was the metal content of the coins that actually established how much the coin is going to be worth. So in other words, gold coins, silver coins. So, and what they did in terms of changing the coin was they actually added more metal content. The gold coin now was bigger. The silver coin was now bigger. The Gemara now is suggesting that maybe we're capping at a 6 because we're worried about inflation. Because what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that if we now increase the size of the coins, so that means to say now that let's say you're coming into a town not realizing that the coin sizes are bigger, and all of a sudden you're looking around and they're demanding, right? Or let's say you're selling. And you're selling and you're getting now fewer coins. And you're thinking to yourself, why am I getting fewer coins? In other words, I used to get 6 coins, now I'm getting 5 coins? What's that? And so now, panic in the market. Because you're not getting now the same number of coins. Panic in the market leads to inflation. So what the Gemara is now suggesting is that maybe the reason why we are capping these kinds of changes to 1/6 is because we're worried about fear and panic in the market, we're worried about inflation. The Gemara says, Yahachi, Shisus Nami Lo. Well, the Gemara says, well, if that's really the concern, so then what difference does it make whether it's 6 to 5 or 7 to 6 or 8 to 7? Meaning any time your merchants are coming into town and getting less money, less coins, so that leads to fear and panic and that'll lead to inflation. So the Gemara says, so I then don't understand what's the cap at 1/6. So the Gemara says, okay, so that can be the explanation. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the issue is Onah. Now, we spent a lot of time in Bava Metzia discussing this. Let's review. There is an Isser in the Torah of defrauding another. Now, when we're talking about defrauding another, just a couple of basic rules. One is that it doesn't apply to property. It only applies to movables. Two, it doesn't apply to anything which is quantifiable. Meaning, if I'm selling you a dozen eggs, so there is no issue of well, if I sell you, instead of 12, I sell you 13. Or let's say I sell you, I'm going to sell you 100 eggs and I sell you 99, there, immediately that's fraud. Because it's something which we can count. And if I'm telling you I'm selling you 100, there can be no discrepancy between 100 versus 99. 100 is 100. So that's also fraud. What we're talking about over here are items that are being sold, where basically there's a quote-unquote fair market value to that item. So an item which is sold, which is a fair market value, so basically, how much is that worth? Well, the market will determine how much is that worth. But once the market makes that determination, I can't sell above or below a sixth of its value. That would be considered fraud. Now, when we say fraud, what do we mean? Less than a sixth is, there's mechila. Over a sixth, mecha chabatel, the sale is voided. And if the amount that was either over or undercharged was a sixth, exactly, so then the sale is valid, but whatever the difference is going to be returned. Good. That's the basic outline of Ona'ah, in a nutshell. What the Gemara now is suggesting is that the reason why we cannot make changes in the size of the coin is predicated on the fact that it may result in Ona'ah. So the Gemara says, Kihechid olalahavi bitol mekach. So the Gemara says so that it would not result in defrauding. And again, what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows. You have a merchant that comes into town, not knowing about the change in the coin. He comes in, he sells, and not knowing about the change in the coin, what may end up happening is fraud may end up happening. Admittedly, unintentionally, but still, it may end up happening. So if the cap in the change of the coin is only going to be 1/6, so then that means to say now that nobody will be unintentionally defrauded. At best, what's going to happen is that you'll just simply have a return in the difference. But the sales will be valid. So the Gemara says, okay, but that also can't be the explanation. So the Gemara says, because look, this can't account for every transaction in the market. Because transactions in the market are not just limited to items and what fair market value is, but the transactions in the market are for things which are measurable. And as we pointed out in the beginning of this discussion, anything which is quantifiable, there is no room whatsoever for error. If I'm telling you I'm selling you 100 eggs, so there can be no discrepancy between 100 eggs and 99 eggs. So the Gemara says this cannot account for Shmuel's rule about capping. Elamishim Tagra. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be that this is really going to be a function of your merchants. And that means as follows. Now we have in our Gemara the word di'ana, or it could be another word zayana, but I'll explain. What was once upon a time profit margin? So generally speaking, people who sold items operated with a profit margin of 1/6. In other words, if the item costs them 5, they'll sell for 6. Okay. And that was, generally speaking, the profit margin that was established by merchants. Now, it could be, and again, the Gemara is not really clear about this, it could be that profit margin and operating only with a 1/6 profit margin, like an 18% profit margin, it could be that was only for staple foods. But whatever the case is, that was, generally speaking, the profit margin. So once again, we talk about now our unsuspecting merchant who comes into town, not knowing that the coins have increased. And so what's going to end up happening now is that he will be selling his items. He's unsuspecting. He didn't know now that the coins increased. And so instead of now him, in other words, let's not even talk about coins. Let's talk about the measuring cups. It's a little bit easier to picture and for me to illustrate. So let's say we talk about a measuring cup. So the measuring cup's now increased. He's going to take his product, let's say it's oil, put it in the buyer's measuring cup, fill it, not realizing that he's not selling what he thinks to be a quart. He's now selling more. How much more? Well, because we're capping at a six, so now that's going to be a six more than what he actually sold it at. Fine. So basically what we want to do is we want to protect these sellers, protect them from loss. Since their profit margin was typically a six, so therefore we're going to cap the increase of anything at 1/6, so they don't experience a loss of profit. To which the Gemara says, "Dianohu delolimteya, Rav Chalabaye." So the Gemara says, "So I don't understand." Okay, that's wonderful. So you protected him from profit loss. You protected him from principal loss.
Principal.
Right, but he hasn't made a profit, and so the Gemara says, "Zavin v'zavin tagra ikre." Perhaps the best line of today's daf. Right? So let me get this straight. So you're going to buy, you're going to sell, and now you want to call him a seller? Meaning he's in it for business. He's in it to make a profit. So granted that you now have properly protected him from any type of principal loss, but in other words, but if he's not making a profit, if he's not turning a profit, what was the point of all that? So that just he can go into town and he could sell it and he won't lose principal? Okay, but he's not... the whole reason why he's coming in is to make money. So, Ela Amar Rav Chisda. So, what we have now done is we have tried to understand, Shmuel gives a cap. If I'm increasing the weight of coins, if I'm increasing the measurement, linear measurements, if the government's going to increase the profit margins, so none of these can be done by greater than 1/6. Why is that? So the Gemara suggested maybe it has to do with inflation. The Gemara says, no, that can't be, because then we shouldn't allow for any kind of adjustment. Maybe it has to do with the Isra of Onah. Once again, the Gemara says that also can't be. Because things which are quantifiable are not subject to any kind of onah whatsoever. Meaning there's no tolerance for any deviation whatsoever. And if the issue is we're trying to protect sellers who are coming into town, not knowing about the increase in volume, so the Gemara says all you're doing is protecting them from principal and yesher koach. Meaning that we're not going to make an entire institution just to protect somebody so that he doesn't lose his principal. Meaning he's coming in to make money. Okay, so when all said and done, basically, the Gemara is basically struggling to understand what is the basis of Shmuel's rule. And what the Gemara now comes to is that there may not be a rational explanation, but there are psukim in the Navi that would seem to indicate this. Alam Rav Chisda Shmuel Kra Ashkach V'Darach. So he learns that from psukim. And here we go once again for the last time today. We're going to go back to Sefer Yecheskel. We're going to go back to the 45th Perek. And Hashekel Esrim Gera, Esrim Shkalim Chamisha, the Esrim Shkalim, Asara V'Chamisha Shekel, Hamane Yalachem. If you were to take that pasuk, count up all the Shkalim mentioned in that pasuk, you're going to come out to 60 Shkalim. And then the Navi Yecheskel says something which is confounding. It says, you know, those 60 Shkalim are equivalent to one money. Now, again, we're talking about currencies. Let's make sure that we all remember. A shekel is equivalent to 4 dinarim. So that means that 60 shkalim is now equivalent to 240 dinarim. Okay, great. And what the pasuk now in Yecheskel is saying is, you know how much a mana is? A mana is 240 dinarim. That's confounding. Meaning, if I were to ask anyone, how much is a mana? So instinctively, I would say, because the Gemara always says this, a mana is 100, right? 100 dinarim. And now the pasuk in Yecheskel is saying that it's not 100, but rather 240. Yeah, that makes no sense. So, mana masan varban havu, and the Gemara asks the question really succinctly. A mana is 240? Mana is not 240, it's 100. So, ala shma min atla. So the Gemara says, so here we are now learning three things together. One, shma min mana shokarish kafu l'haya. First of all, the mana of the Beis HaMikdash was double the size of our mana. Meaning, you and I, when we deal with mana currency, and again, currency, by the way, not paper. In other words, it's a coin. So, when the money was used by the Beis HaMikdash, so their monies were twice as large as our monies. Fine. The Beis HaMikdash money was double the weight of ours. That's fine. But that would, of course, go from 100 to 200. So we're almost there at the Pasuk in Yecheskel, but obviously we're 40 away. So, okay, good. Ushma min ha-mosifin al amidos, ve'en mosifin yoster mishisos. And now we get to point two and point number three. Point number two is that what they must have done is that they must have made an adjustment of the measurement. So that, in other words, at one point it was 200, they added to it, so now it's 240. And now, we have learned together that you cap, and you cap only at 1/6. Now, if we were to take 200, and you say that we are going to increase the measurement, but we can't increase more than 1/6, so that's fine. So that means to say that we'll take 18% of 200, and we'll only add onto that. Here's, of course, the problem. If it is 1/6 being 18%, that's not 240, that's something more like 236. It's not 236, it's 240. So it must be, and I know we've heard this point many times before, but we're going to say it again. The fractions that are used over here are not describing the fractions before, but the fractions after. Meaning, and I told you this is it's the best little trick that somebody taught me. I don't know who to give credit to, but it works every single time. Meaning, when we say the number 1/6, so let's take the denominator and just simply lower it by 1. So instead of saying 1/6, say 1/5. It works every time. So now if the number is 200, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take a fifth of 200. A fifth of 200 is 40. And now what we're going to do is we're going to add on to that. So in other words, 200 now becomes 240. Now if I take the number 240, what's a sixth of 240? A sixth of 240 is 40. So when we say that we're capping it at 1/6, what we really mean is 1/5, the way you and I describe fractions, which will end up being 1/6 after it's tacked on. This is how the Gemara describes Shesusa Milabar. In other words, it's a sixth, but only after the fact. Fine. And so therefore, what we've learned now is that there is an allowance to increase the measure of the weight of coins, the linear measurement of linear measurements, midos, and when I say linear measurements, also volume measurements as well, and also staple foods in the market. So for these things, so there can be an increase, but an increase no greater than 1/6. Why not? And I know it's like an unsatisfying answer, but it's a drasha. In other words, the pesukim in Yecheskel say so. So obviously, it only begs the question, then why? I don't know. The Gemara entertained a number of, rational suggestions having to do with inflation, the Isser of Ona'ah, perhaps a protection of principal loss for the merchants. But the Gemara ends up rejecting all those explanations, and the Gemara basically comes back to its psukim in the Navi. And then Amar Ravina Masisa Nami Deka Diktani Haisa. I'm sorry, Toda Haisa Bachamisham Yerushalmiyos Shein Sheish Midbarios Shmamina. And then Ravina points out, oh, by the way, this halacha of Shmuel, which is really based on Pesukim in Yecheskel, you see it in our Mishnah. Meaning, what happens in our Mishnah? There was a volume that once upon a time held 6. Six of the desert sa'as are now, because we increase the actual measuring cup, now I only need 5 to hold what once upon a time was 6. So once again, over here, clearly you see that this idea that there was an allowance to adjust and increase the measurements, the idea that you can only do it by 1/6, you see it in our Mishnah. Yes. Meaning, we're not, in terms of the actual amount is halach l'moshe m'sinai, right? The Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Sukkah, that all shiurim are halach l'moshe m'sinai. In terms of what you and I describe as a measuring cup, that's arbitrary. Not arbitrary per se, meaning in the Midbar they had standard measuring cups. But in other words, but you can call that a measuring cup, or what we could do is we can increase the size of it and call it by the same name, which is what happened. Shmuel's telling us is that whenever a change is made, so we cap the amount that the change is made. But in other words, the actual amount that's being used, that is fixed. So in other words, so once the measuring cups are increased, we're going to need less of the measuring cups to get to that amount. That's it. Ein Zayin Amud Beis, we are on the top of the Mishnah. Mikulam Ayinotel Echad Me'asara Truma. There are 40 loaves, what we're going to do, and there are 4 types. So what the Mishnah now is telling us is, take 1 loaf of each and give it to the Kohen. Now, if you put this Mishnah together with the last Mishnah, so you recognize that your Chametz loaf that you're giving to the Kohen is going to be sizable. In fact, it's 1 Isaron in size. Your matzah loaves that you're giving him, you're going to be giving the Kohen 3 matzah loaves. 1 Rekikin, 1 Chala, and 1 Revucha. and they're going to be significantly smaller. Fine. So mikol ma'ino tal echad mi'asar truma she'namar v'ikriv mimenu echad mikol karban truma la'Hashem. Echad shelo yitol pros mikol karban. You can't take a piece. Shiyuhu kol ha'karbanos shavos. All the karbanos should be equal. Shelo yitol mikarban al chaver. You can't take from one karban onto the other. Meaning what the Mishnah is basically telling us is there has to be one loaf complete from each of the types. You can't give the Kohen two revuchas and no challah. La Kohen HaZarek HaZdam HaShlamim Lo Yev HaShar Nechal LaBalim. And which Kohen do you give it to? The Kohen who does the Avoda. We already read the Pesukim in the beginning of Shir this morning. So it goes to the Kohen who's doing the Avoda. As far as the other 36 loaves, that is taken home by, I don't mean home, by the way, but in other words, that's taken back by the owner, and he's going to eat it as part of his Karban Toda. Now, has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. It's Yerushalayim. It's eaten within Yerushalayim. Tanu Rabbanan. We are learning together a brisa. Ve'hikriv mimenu min amuvchar echad shelo yitol pros mikol karban. Echad shelo yitol pros. He cannot take a piece off mikol karban shiukol karban ashavos. They have to be equal. Shelo yitol min a karban al chaveru. You can't take two of one and zero of the other. Truma la'Hashem in yodea mikamahi. So, and how many do I take and give to the Kohen? Now we know the number because the Mishnah told us. But in other words, can we actually see it in the Pesukim themselves? And that's what the Gemara is going to try to do. Harini dan. Well, let's see. Nemar kan truma v'nemar b'trumas meiser truma. Now, there is another place where truma is an amount. By trumas meiser. When the Levi receives his truma, his meiser rishon, what the Levi is then instructed to do is take 10% of the meiser rishon and give that to the Kohen. That is what's called trumas meiser. The Torah describes it as truma, and that is in fact 1 of 10. So malahalan echem me'asara, avkan echem me'asara, oklach l'derech zu. The Gemara says, however, we can go in another direction. Nemar kan truma, v'nemar bibikurim truma. You know, by bikurim, the Torah also describes bikurim as truma. Malahalan ein lashir, avkan ein lashir. Well, you know, by bikurim, there is no amount, there's no set amount. So too over here, maybe there's no set amount. Nir l'midomis. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's see what it's more comparable to. Dan in truma she'ein acharei truma, mi truma she'ein acharei truma. The truma of the Karban Toda is much more similar to Trumas Meiser. Because consider, once the Levi gives off Trumas Meiser, that's the end of his tithing. He doesn't have to do anymore. Same thing with the Lachmei Toda. Once the owner gives one of every one of the loaves to the Kohen, 4 in total, that's it. No more tithing that he needs to do. Ayachich Bikurim Sheish Acharei Truma. But when it comes to Bikurim, so you take off Bikurim from your first fruits. Okay, great. You still have to take off truma. You still have to take off Meister Rishon, Meister Sheni, Meister Ani. Good. Oklach l'derech zu. Dan in truma nechaz b'makum kadosh, min truma nechaz b'makum kadosh, v'al tochiach trumas meister, she'nechaz b'chol makum. On the other hand, where lachmei toda eaten? In Yerushalayim. Where is bikurim eaten? In Yerushalayim. Where is trumas meister eaten? Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So Tam Alamre Mimenu Truma LaHashem Uksib Trumas Meiser Mimenu Trumas Lagzera Shava Laman. I'm sorry. Lamanu She LaTruma She Echad Me'Asara. Good. So basically, you're right. If we're just going to try to learn it out through commonality and Binyanav, you are 100% right. I don't know which direction to go. Should we compare it to Trumas Meiser, which is 1 in 10, or should we compare it to Bikurim that has no Shear? So you're right. The Gemara says we have Gzera Shava. Aval eni yodea mikama hi chala. Now the Gemara says, okay, but how many loaves are we talking about? Hare dan nemer kan lechem nemer lahalan b'shtei alechem lechem alahalan isaron lechala avkan isaron lechala. So we're going to learn now from the shtei alechem. Now by the shtei alechem, the Torah says very clearly the shtei alechem is made up of shtei esronim. So that means that there are two loaves. The total amount of flour is shtei esronim. So nice and easy math. One isaron per loaf for the shtei alechem of Shavuos. So now, maybe what the argument now is that maybe each one of the chalos of the toda is also going to be one isaron. Oklach l'derech zu. Nemekan lechem nemer lechem aponim. Lechem. Malahalan shnei esronim. Esronos, I should say. Avkan shnei esronos. But, you know, by the lechem aponim, how much is each loaf? So once again, this is something we've heard recently. The total number of loaves of the lechem apanim are 12. The total number of flour for the lechem apanim is 24. Right? Remember just yesterday, we talked about the idea that because there's so much flour that's needed for the lechem apanim, so what the Beis HaMikdash should consider is buying in bulk and buying it in its kernel state, not in its ground up state, so that it would be cheaper for the Beis HaMikdash. So 24 esronos for 12 loaves, so that means each load made up of 2 esronos. So now I should be comparing the each loaf of the carbon toda to the she'al lechem, one isaron per loaf, or I should compare to the lechem apanim, 2 isaron per loaf. Which one? Nir lemidome, and here we go once again. Well, let's see which one's more comparable to. Dana mincha ba chametz imazevach, mi mincha ba chametz imazevach, v'ayuchi lechem apanim, sheno ba chametz imazevach. On one hand, the lechem of the carbon toda is chametz, as is the she'al lechem. In fact, they're the only two menachos out there that are chametz. So on one hand, they share that commonality. I've just finished the point. And the lechem apanim is not chametz, it's matzah, like a standard mincha. Oklach l'derech zu. Danim mincha ba me'eretz v'chutz aretz min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan. Mi mincha ba me'eretz v'chutz aretz min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan. On the other hand, lechem apanim comes from produce from all over Eretz Yisrael, and even outside of Eretz Yisrael, from new and from old. That's true both by lechem apanim. It's true also by the mincha of the Todah. Meanwhile, the wheat that's used for the shtei lechem, so it is only coming from Eretz Yisrael, and it's only chadash. By definition, it's chadash because it is, as we already discussed earlier, the matir for all grains in the Beis HaMikdash. So tamalomer mi moshu sechem taviu lechem tenufa shtayim. Shein tamalomer taviu u ma tamalomer taviu shekoma shata mevi mimakom acher harehu kazeh. Taviu is an unnecessary word in the Torah. It's coming to tell me that when I'm bringing loaves, it will follow the model of the shtei lechem. Just like the shtei lechem is one isaron per loaf. So anytime we have a loaf being described in the Torah, it's one isaron per loaf. Ma lahalan isaron lechala afkan isaron lechala. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then maybe the total amount of flour used for the Torah will be 2. So Tamalomer, Tiena, Lamanu, Asar Lechametz, Asar Lamatza, I'm sorry, Asar Lechametz. So the Tihiena, the Yud in Tihiena is telling me that there are going to be 10 loaves in total. So I'll try to summarize this really, really clearly and succinctly. How do I know how much flour is used per loaf for the lachmei toda? So right now, just focusing on the chametz loaves, so based on a ribui, not a ribui, but a drasha from the she'al lechem is one isaron per loaf, so that sets the model that each loaf is going to be made up of one isaron. Now, when it comes to the lachmei toda, so I know now that each loaf is going to be one isaron. Maybe it should only be 2 loaves, just like the she'al lechem is 2 loaves. We have a drasha by the lachmei toda. That's 10 loaves. The extra yud and tiyena. So that tells me that there are 10 loaves, and each loaf is made up of 1 isaron, 10 isaron in total for the chametz of the lachmei toda. Now, asar lamatza minayin. How do I know that I use 10 isaron for the matza? Tamalomer al chalos lechem chametz neged chametz. Havei matzah. So in other words, there, the Torah tells us that the amount of flour they use for chametz, take that amount, which we just learned out through drashas, and it will be a complementary amount for all the matzah loaves. Meaning if it's 10 isaron of flour for the chametz, it's 10 isaron for the matzah. Nimsu esrim esronos lach metoda, asar lachametz v'asar lamatzah. Good. Like we said in the beginning of Daf today, but now we're learning it out through drashas. So that means 10 isaron for the chametz, 10 isaron for the matzah. Yachla asar sheba matzah lo yekulam ela mimin echad. Now maybe of the 10 isaron of flour that I'm using for the matzah, maybe it should all come from one type. Tamalomar imal toda yakri venev yikriv zevach toda chalos matzos bulus b'shemen rukikim matzos meshuchem b'shemen solos merveches nimsu shlosha esronim v'shlish lechomin v'min v'shosh chalos le'isaron. Okay, so again, we're just simply following the psukim that we started off the morning with, and that is that the Torah describes in the matzah that there are going to be three different types. There's going to be the challah, the rikikin, and the revucha. And so that means now that we're going to take the 10 yisaron and divide it amongst the three different types. So that means of the 10 yisaron, 3 1/3 yisaron are going to be used for each one of the types. Nimsu lachme toda arba'im. Now, put everything together, and now 40 loaves in total. 10 chametz loaves, made up of 10 yisaron. 30 matzah loaves, made up of 10 yisaron. And of the 30, they're going to be segmented off 10, 10, and 10. 10 of chalos, 10 of rikikin, 10 of revucha. And now what you do is that 40 in total, notam mehen arba, you take now 4 loaves, one from the chametz, one from the challah, one from the rikik, and one from the revucha, v'nosa l'kohen. You give that to the kohen, v'ashar nechal l'balam, and the rest of it is going to be handed over to the owner, to be eaten by the owner. Amar mar. Let's do a little bit more for this morning. We have learned together. V'ikrib mimenu mena mochar, ela me'at d'chziv, es kol chabo yarim mimenu. So hasam my mechubar ikar. So the Gemara says, "Kedrav chisa amar avimi, damar av chisa amar avimi, shaloi natech basar kol mishiyitol imurim." So there, you should not cut up the animal before removing the imurim. Meaning, procedurally, first you should take the imurim out. That's mena mechubar, and then only afterwards cut up the animal. Amar mar namar kan chuma v'namar b'chumas ma'aser chuma v'nelof m'chumas midyan. The Gemara says, well, there is another mention, a reference of chuma in the Torah, and that is after the war with Midyan. So we came back with a lot of spoils, and those spoils were divided. Those spoils were divided not at a ratio of 1 to 10, but at a different ratio. Now, depending who the recipient was, right? 1 to 500, but anyway, but it was a different ratio. So nailav me chumas midjan, danim chumas anoheges ladoros, me chumas anoheges ladoros, v'al tochich chumas midjan, sheino anoheges ladoros. So the Gemara says, okay, but yes, that's true, but that was historical. Meaning that was not a mitzvah ladoros. We'd much rather learn out the halacha of the lach metoda and the chuma of the lach metoda given to the Kohen from chumas meister. Both of them are mitzvahs ladoros. V'nailav me chumas chala. So why don't we learn out from chuma of chala? Chala is referred to as chuma as well. Tan deber v'shmal, dan and davish and emar bo mimenu. Chumas Lashem. So we don't have a gzera shava for chala. By Rava Chumas Lachmetoda Chayav Nalem Misa V'Chomish or Ein Chayav Nalem Misa V'Chomish. You know, a non-Kohen that eats truma, so he's subject to the death penalty, and if eaten b'shogeg, so subject to have to make a reimbursement with also tacking on a chomish. Now, by the way, if you take what we learned earlier today and you apply it over here, when we say a chumash, what we really mean is 25%. That, right? If you follow the first half of today's daf. So the Gemara says, Kevin de itkish l'chumas meister, k'chumas meister dami. Odil mabo v'chamish iso, miet rechmana. Basically, the Gemara looks at it in one of two ways. One is that, just like by chumas meister, it's subject to Misa and Chomish, so to over here, or maybe no, maybe just simply that Misa and Chomish is only limited to Chuma of produce, but not Chuma of Karban Todah. Medamas or Eino Medamas, also, if it gets mixed in with others, does it make Dimua? When Chuma gets mixed in with Chul and it creates Dimua, are we going to say the same thing over here? Teku, these questions are left off unresolved. Recap, today we are opened up with the Karban Todah. The Mishnah opened up today, the eighth parak of the Masechta, discussing the amounts that are used, the amount of flour that's used. We also learn that when they move from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, so they actually increase the measuring cups. So what we had to do was just simply convert. In other words, what was 6 measuring cups in the Midbar now turns into 5 measuring cups in Yerushalayim. The Gemara spends some time going through Pesukim Yecheskel and Parak Memhei, establishing the measuring cups and how much each measuring cup contained. The rule of Shmuel that when making increased sizes in weight and in volume and in linear measurement and in profit margin, you can't go beyond a 6. Why not? The Gemara entertained a number of suggestions, but it's based on Pesukim in the Navi. And then the rest of today's daf, a discussion in the Mishnah, and not a discussion, a pointed instruction in the Mishnah in terms of the number of loaves, how much you give to a Kohen, how the distribution of each of the set is given to the Kohen, how the owner retains the other 36 loaves, and then the Gemara basically learns all this out through drushas.